Hi, this is Daniel Garber, and I'm here this Friday morning reviewing movies for CulturalMining.com and Take 5, CIUT 89.5 FM. Today I'm going to talk about some British films that played at TIFF, the Toronto International Film Festival. There are a surprising number of good movies, but they tended to fall on two sides of a great divide. On one side is the palatable masterpiece theater-type England, nicely doled up for North American sensibilities, with its crowned heads, palatial estates, tally-ho, ta-ta, Shakespeare, umbrellas, Churchill, and crisp enunciation fit for television. You're likely to see Hugh Grant or Colin Firth or Ralph Fiennes. It's like the future described in Julian Barnes' speculative novel England, England, where the whole country, including members of the royal family, are replicated on a small island and reduced to a mini theme park built for foreign visitors. On the other side is a grimier, grittier UK where people speak in gruff, regional accents and dialects, get in fights, do unfortunate things, try to get rich, and get caught up in problems they don't know how to solve. I tend to like this version better than the pasteurized one. During Blair's era, a book, Britain Inc., was making the rounds in advertising circles. It said a country could be a brand. Movies like The King's Speech fit nicely into Britain Inc., while Ned's or Root Irish might not be as brand-friendly. Maybe that's why they're so much better movies. So the winner of this year's People Choice Award at Toronto Film Festival is The King's Speech, directed by Tom Hooper. This movie falls neatly into the first category of British films. Lionel, played by Geoffrey Rush, is an Australian speech therapist who invented techniques for returned soldiers from World War II to help them speak well. He's hired, in great secrecy, to help the man, known to his friends as Bertie, and who later became King George VI, played by Colin Firth, because he has a terrible stutter. With the advent of radio, he needs to fix his speech instead of freezing up whenever he's asked to make an announcement or a speech. The meeting is arranged by his wife, the future Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, played by that redoubtable frowsy actress with the double-barreled name, Helena Bonham Carter. But Lionel, the speech therapist, is a commoner, the first Bertie has ever met, and Bertie is used to being addressed as Your Royal Highness or just Sir. Lionel works in a dirty, broken-down basement, while Bertie lives in a palace. But Lionel insists they address each other as regular people do. He's decided it's psychological. Bertie's intimidated by his father, the king, and his brother, the Prince of Wales. So through the use of his experimental and amusing methods, he tries to get Bertie to pronounce words without a stammer. Now, this is based on a true story, and Canadians I've talked to who lived through that era all remember that the king did indeed have a stutter. And the acting was all credible with people like Derek Jacobi from I, Claudius as the Archbishop of Canterbury. But the movie rubbed me the wrong way. Everything's so homogenized that the accents of the Australian therapist and the king aren't really that different. And the history is such a storybook feel to it. Here's Winston Churchill harumphing about this, and there's Wallace Simpson drinking a cocktail about that. The whole movie felt like an American TV view of what England was like in order to attract more Oscar votes. And you know what bothered me most? It was this constant, awful use of the wide-angle lens, where characters lean forward into the camera at a distorted angle like a bad 80s TV commercial, giving the whole movie a sort of get it tone to it. I can tell this movie's going to be popular, but it didn't do much for me. More to my taste was the excellent Root Irish, directed by Ken Loach and written by Paul Laverty. Fergus and Frankie are lifelong best buddies from Northern England, almost like brothers. They've even shared girlfriends. So when he's told Frankie is ambushed by unnamed terrorists in Iraq on that dangerous stretch of road to the green zone known as Root Irish, Fergus is crushed. He's sure that something bad happened to him, that it was somehow someone's fault. Frankie was born lucky. He kind of just died by chance. So Fergus decides to investigate. They were both working as well-paid mercenaries for a shady security firm, and it was Fergus that got him the job, so he feels guilty and responsible for his death. Well, this is an amazing war movie, the best so far about the Iraq War. Even though it takes place mainly back in Britain, it brings up the issues of torture, terrorism, interrogation, and cover-ups, not as something to be feared by an unknown Al-Qaeda Middle Eastern enemy, but more by how all this has changed the attitudes and practices of us, of the West. It also works as a very engrossing drama with great characters who you care about, and most surprisingly, as a genuine thriller, as the conspiracy and violence of events is gradually revealed. Ken Loach is the director of great movies like It's a Free World, Bread and Roses, The Wind That Shakes the Barley, about the Irish Revolution, and Land and Freedom, about the Spanish Civil War. I remember always liking his movies as politically progressive, but sometimes they bogged down when long discussions would trump the plot. But he's just gotten better and better and better. This is one of the best movies he's ever made that functions both as a politically astute view of the war in Iraq and as just a really good movie. There's some rough violence, but it's not gratuitous. I really recommend this one and hope it's widely released. Root Irish by Ken Loach. Finally, a surprise movie at TIFF was Neds, directed by Peter Mullen. So John McGill is a good boy in 70s Glasgow, Scotland. His aunt says he can do anything he wants. He reads so much. He's so smart. He should be a journalist. But from day one at school, he streamed into the NEDS category. That stands for non-educable delinquent, because his big brother Benny is in a local gang. So on his first day of class, he's told he's a loser and is put in the lowest rung. And it's horribly competitive at the school. Every semester, the top two in each form move up to a better class, and the bottom two move down. And if any kid is late or talks out of line, he has to hold his hands up, palms up, in front of him to be flogged. These are little kids. Anyway, the story progresses as he grows older, and despite his efforts, he gradually, fatalistically falls in with a bad crowd and becomes a juvenile delinquent. As his anger builds and his behavior worsens, he turns into a bit of a street-savvy monster. But guilt also steps in when he has to face what he's done. Anyway, I don't want to give away the ending, but it's quite a cathartic movie. And though long, it gets more and more extreme, but also more interesting, until there's a completely unexpected, shocking, and then oddly touching ending. I'm not going to say anything about it to give it away, except to say it was great. I should also mention, unlike The King's Speech, both Root Irish and Neds were subtitled, since the accents in Glasgow and I think it was Liverpool are not as plummy and smooth as the palatable made-for-TV-style Britain usually shown on this side of the Atlantic. Finally, I want to say again, go and take a look at the new Lightbox at John and King that just opened. That's a combination movie theater and gallery celebrating everything about movies themselves. The theaters are amazing, and I want to apologize. Last week I said the seats were uncomfortable without armrests, but it turns out I didn't realize I was sitting in the section made to accommodate wheelchairs. That's why there was no armrests. Oops. Just to review, today I talked about the two sides of British movies at TIFF, Ned's, Root Irish, and The King's Speech. Also opening this weekend, check your local listings, is Uncle Boomy, Who Can Recall His Past Lives, the latest movie by the great Thai director Apichatpongwira Sathakun. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't give you my opinion except to say I liked a lot of his past movies, and they're beautiful, often austere art films, by the way, not mainstream films, so you might want to check him out. This is Daniel Garber reviewing movies each Friday morning on Take 5 CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com. Mining.com. Mining.com.